Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday in Advent. The only announcement I have this morning is to remind you that our Christmas Eve service will be held here in the sanctuary on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. So please plan to attend, and note the time is a little different than it was last year, but it will be at 8 p.m. Any other announcement that I missed that we may want to make? Angel tag gifts are due today. I think that most of them are here. We'll be distributing them after the service. All right. Let us continue to worship God with our call to worship. Our souls magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. Oh, I'm sorry. I flipped the order this week. So we're going to start, and then I'm going to go, and then we'll all go together. So let's start that over. Our souls magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is God's name. Let us worship God, for God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God gives mercy. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 98, to a maid whose name was Mary.
Mary,
me now for our prayer of confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule.
We confess that we have not expected your kingdom,
for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Join with me now for our words of assurance. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Having received the peace of Christ, let us share signs of that peace with one another by greeting one another in faith.
Today we embodiment of God's love here on earth. Love is patient and kind and powerful, and we all share the calling to go into the world and spread that love to others.
That you fill us with the power of your love. Take away our bitterness, greed, and jealousy. Remind us that we are brothers and sisters, all sharing the wonderful gift of life. Help us treat others with respect and love, and help us care for the world you have given us with loving hearts and gentle hands. Amen. Amen.
I don't think we have any new prayer requests this morning. I would just ask if you could keep my mom in your prayers. She's scheduled to have hip replacement surgery on January 8th, and she's in a lot of pain right now, and is still insisting on, I think she's going to 3 worship services on Christmas Eve. This is where I get my stubbornness from. but just please pray for her. She's in a lot of pain and she's kind of nervous about the surgery. And my mom is also an orthopedic nurse, so she knows exactly what's going to happen in the surgery and is overthinking things a little bit. So her name's Pat, if you could keep her in your prayers. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation. We're going to sing the first 2 verses and then the refrain, and then the second 2 verses and the refrain.
Spirits.
seated. Let us pray. All glory to you, great God, for the gift of your Son, whom you sent to save us. With singing angels and choirs of heavenly host, let us praise your name and tell the earth his story. That all may believe, rejoice, and bow down, acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us now pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Today we pray for Pat. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we are a nation in turmoil. We pray for your active presence among our people, and especially in the leaders of our nation as our crisis of governance unfolds. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we pray for everyone in our congregation who is traveling this holiday. We pray that you grant them safe passage to their destination and also safe travel home to us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son in Jesus that we will be celebrating on Tuesday night. We pray that this would be a joyous occasion for everyone. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. God Most High, your Son embraced the weakness of flesh to give us power to become your children. Your eternal word chose a dwelling among us that we might live in your presence. Grant us a spirit of wisdom to know how rich is the glory you have made our own and how great the hope to which we are called. In Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today our scripture is from Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just then, when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as a wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever heard the expression that the best way to make God laugh is to tell him your plans? What we mean by this is that God often works in unexpected ways, and rarely in the way that we tell God to or would wish that God would. In my experience, the best way for God to get you to do something unexpected is to tell him that you will absolutely, positively not do something. The louder that we object, the more unexpectedly God tends to move in our lives. This was certainly the case for Joseph. In our scripture passage for today, Joseph has just learned that his fiancée, Mary, is with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, I like Joseph. Joseph is what we would call a righteous man, a fair man. But according to Jewish law, he cannot simply forgive Mary, because to be engaged in the ancient Near East meant that you were basically married, all but having had your church ceremony. So he's not just forgiving his pregnant fiance, he's basically forgiving his pregnant wife, who he believes must have cheated on him. So for Joseph, the kind and fair and honorable thing to do is to divorce his unfaithful wife. Because the child that she carries is not his, this will screw up an inheritance that he didn't really earn but has to steward into future generations. Joseph wants to divorce her quietly. He doesn't want to subject her to the shame of a public divorce. But then God does something unexpected. God sends an angel to Joseph in a dream. The angel tells Joseph to go ahead and marry Mary, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The angel instructs Joseph to name the baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. This promised child is an action of God through the Holy Spirit that will save the people from their sins. What is interesting then is what Matthew, the writer of the gospel, does next. He could have kind of ended the story with the angel coming to Joseph. Instead, he tells us that the angel comes to Joseph in a dream so that God could fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. Recall that Isaiah prophesied, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Even though the prophet prophesied a child and a child is coming, this child actually represents a promise that God is going to fulfill in his birth. Because of God's unexpected actions, Joseph unexpectedly takes Mary home to be his wife. When the child is born, he names him Jesus, and by doing so, he effectively adopts him. Through Joseph's adoption, Jesus becomes a descendant of the house of David, thus fulfilling another one of Isaiah's prophecies, that a stoop shall come forth from the house of Jesse. Remember, Jesse is David's father. What's interesting here is what Joseph initially said absolutely, positively no to becomes the very thing that he is most remembered for. This week, I've been reflecting on God's kind of unexpected call by reflecting on moments in my own life where God has asked me to do something unexpected. In the summer of 2018, I got a phone call from Presbytery. They knew that I was pastoring a congregation that was struggling to support a full-time pastor. They were working with a congregation that was interested in hiring me as their next pastor, but also could no longer support a full-time salary. He asked me, would I consider a call to shared pastoral ministry? I think my immediate reaction was to start laughing and then start swearing, then to tell Presbytery, I'm going to need a minute to seriously think about this. At the time, I was a 28-year-old, just 2 years out of seminary. I knew that serving two congregations was going to require the skills of a cardiac surgeon with 20 years of experience. And here I was, all but a surgical intern. How on earth would this call ever come together? During this time of discernment, I started to reread biblical stories of men and women that God had called to do unexpected things. I thought about God calling Abraham and asking him to slay the child that he and Sarah had waited a century for. I thought about God calling Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt so they could wander around in the wilderness so that Moses could never actually set foot in the promised land. I thought about an angel of the Lord calling Joseph to marry his pregnant fiancée. In each of these stories, God calls men and women outside of their comfort zones and invites them to be a part of salvation history. All calling comes at a cost. But following God's call allowed each of these men in this instance to become more fully the men that God had created them to be. Abraham is now remembered for his faithfulness, Moses for his courage, and Joseph for his compassion. Each story reminded me that following God's call is scary, but it is so worth it. Encouraged by these stories, I decided to accept God's invitation to pastor two very different congregations. While it absolutely hasn't been easy, it absolutely has been worth it. I want to take a minute to return to the question that I started this sermon with. When has God called you to do something unexpected? As Mary and Joseph journeyed to that first Christmas, they didn't really know where God's call was going to take them. All they knew was that something wonderful had been promised. They were going to be parents to the Son of God, nonetheless. And they knew that they would have each other to lean on as they figured out how to do that. Friends, it is when we are at our most vulnerable, when we are a young man considering divorcing our fiancé, or when we are a young pastor trying to figure out how to be with two congregations, when we are lost, when we are anxious, when we feel out of control, that is when God discovers a way in to our hearts. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. We have love. We have seen love, because in a few days we are going to see the embodiment of love in this little baby born of Mary in a stable in Bethlehem. But we also have this love because ordinary men and ordinary women decided to accept God's invitation to do something unexpected. When we gather on Tuesday night, we will gather to celebrate the good news of the Incarnation, where Jesus became man and dwelled among us. This week, Joseph teaches us how we are to welcome the Incarnation, this radical intrusion of flesh and blood God into the everyday, ordinary existence of our lives. The full embodiment of God's dream of shalom and compassion and justice. When God invites us to do something unexpected, he's really inviting us to welcome him more deeply into our hearts, so that we too can experience the radical intrusion of God into our everyday, ordinary lives. So, friends, on this fourth Sunday in Advent, how might God be calling you to do something unexpected? My prayer for us this week is that we all might have an opportunity to say yes to God in an unexpected way. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 121, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.